Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. That is awesome. I'm excited about this church. I've been visiting with people and spending time with a little bit of time with the church board and some of the youth ministry people, and I'm just really, really excited about the direction this church is going. I want you to know that. I love you guys, and I'm excited about where we're headed together. Last week, I talked about love. I want to reiterate, we're going to love the lost. It's going to stretch us. It's going to stretch us as we love visitors that come in. It's going to stretch us as we love those that need to know Jesus. And, you know, we might get used to our group and those that we know, but we're going to stretch ourselves and we're going to love those that maybe we don't know so well. We're going to love them with the love of Jesus that's inside of us. That's God's heart for us. That's God's heart to love the lost, and that's going to be our heart as well. I want to reiterate that. It's uncomfortable to love people you don't know. It's uncomfortable. You get used to that familiarity of people that you know and you understand and you've visited with, but it's uncomfortable to love those that you don't know so well. But Jesus loves them, and therefore we're going to love them too. Amen? Good. Good. Some people say, I hope so. They say, I hope we win the game. I know in the Seattle area in Washington, they love their Seahawks. And a couple of years ago, they really hoped that Seahawks would win. And to their great amazement, the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. And then last year, they were having a confident expectation. The Seahawks were going to win. And to their great amazement, the Seahawks lost. Barely, but they lost. Is that hope? What is hope? What is biblical hope? When the Bible talks about hope, what is it talking about? It's talking about a joyful, confident anticipation or expectation. That's biblical hope. A joyful, confident anticipation or expectation. We as Christians need hope. We as Christians need hope. When I was 17 years old, I felt an absolute call by God to preach the gospel of Jesus. And I had absolute faith that God was going to open those doors for me to be able to preach His word, for me to be able to go out and share the good news and be able to preach His word in churches and outside of churches. I just had absolute faith in God that it was going to happen. But it wasn't so easy. I struggled. Every little opportunity, I kept trying to force the doors open and force myself into churches to be able to preach and sometimes lead worship. And it wasn't always easy. Hitting those walls, and it can be disappointing. Those doors just don't open. That just kept disappointing me as a young man. Don't know if you share that experience. And then I made some decisions. You know, it was that hope that propelled me. It was that hope that kept me going. It was that hope knowing that God had called me and having that anticipation. It was that hope that kept propelling me forward. And then I made some decisions as a young man and about college and about Bible college and some wise choices. And then suddenly, God opened the doors wide open and opportunities came in. And I began preaching in churches and preaching at camps in different places and just opportunity after opportunity, and the floodgates just opened. Opportunities came in. And that's awesome, but it was that hope. It was that hope that kept me going. It was that hope that propelled me forward, that confident, joyful anticipation, that expectation. We as Christians need hope. We need hope. Christians must have hope. But what is our hope established in? Our hope is established in Jesus Christ. Our hope is established in Jesus. You know, I was preaching out at a church in Kalama, Washington. And in this church in Kalama, I spent the night with, it's where actually where John, if you know the Lemleys, John Lemley attends this church. And I was preaching at this church, and they let me spend the night at one of the homes there, and the family, they were the Whitneys, they had a telescope. And I got on that telescope, And I tried looking out into that sky, and I could see the moon. I could see the moon was up there. Have you ever used a telescope before? They are tricky machines. I could see the moon was up there, and I was trying to find it, but I was lost in that sky, not knowing where that moon was. Finally, I found the moon, and I could track it, and I could look at details of it. But before that, I was just lost in that sky. Well, hope is kind of like that. Without having our hope established in something, without having our hope grounded in something, our hope is just lost in the expanse of life. We have no true biblical hope without having our hope fixed on something. That something is Jesus Christ. Our hope needs to be established on Jesus Christ. Our hope is established that Jesus came. He came. He was born as a baby of a Virgin Mary. His mom, Mary, his dad, God, raised by Joseph and Mary, lived the perfect sinless life. He was the perfect man. Our hope is established in him. He came, he taught. He taught biblical principles. He taught principles we can follow today. He taught the good news. He taught the kingdom. Our hope is established in that he came. Our hope is established in also that he died. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, for our sins, that we could be set free from our sins. Jesus died that we could be set free and not have to face eternal destruction, but we could have eternal life with Jesus. Our hope is grounded in Jesus, that he came and that he died, and our hope is grounded in that he's rose from the dead. Jesus, 3 days and three nights in the grave, and on the end of the Sabbath, Jesus rose and came out of that tomb. And because he's alive, we know that we too will be alive with him. One day when Jesus comes back, our hope is grounded in his return, that he is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and we are going to be, who are alive and remain, will be caught up to meet him. And those that are dead in Christ will come out, and we will all meet Christ. And we will live eternally, forever, with Jesus. Our hope is established in Jesus Christ. An example of that confident expectation is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Verse 24 says, "For Christ did not enter the holy places made with hands." This is after he's resurrected, after he ascended. It says, "Did not enter the holy places made with hands, which are patterned after the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor did he enter to offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own." They would sacrifice those animals every year. Every year they sacrifice those animals to make atonement for the Jews. But he died once. It says, "For then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the world was created. But now he has appeared once at the end of the ages to put away sin by sacrificing himself. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this comes the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to save those who eagerly wait for him." Jesus died. He died for our sins. Our hope is grounded in that Jesus came and he died and he rose. And our hope is grounded that he's coming back again. He's coming for those who eagerly wait for him, those who are putting their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Another scripture in Romans chapter 6 says it this way, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death, but God's gift, what Jesus came and where our hope is grounded in, is in Jesus. It's that eternal life. It's that he's coming back again. How do we get hope? We see our need for hope. We see our hope is established in Jesus Christ. But how do we get it? You can't purchase it. You can't buy it. It's not like a medical health plan that you can purchase. It's not your retirement plan that you can buy. You cannot purchase hope. You know, buying those things help you to have a sense of satisfaction that you know that things are going to be good down the road for your family. But that is not how you buy, you can't buy hope, biblical hope. So how do we get hope? Well, of course, it begins by accepting Jesus. Hope begins by accepting that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, beginning into that that Christian experience. That's where your hope starts. In its little baby phase, and it begins to grow at that point. Hope is maintained by keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. It starts with accepting Him, but it's maintained by keeping your eyes absolutely fixed on Jesus Christ. You get your eyes off of Jesus, that's not where your hope is. Your hope is right there on Jesus. Keeping your eyes fixed on Him. Your hope is strengthened, the Bible says, by the Word of God. Romans chapter 15 says, for verse 4, for whatever was previously written was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Through the perseverance and encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. You're a Christian. You've entered into that Christian experience. You've maintained your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, keeping yourself in the Word. Your hope is strengthened. It's encouraged. It's built up in God's Word. Hope is, according to the Bible, poured into our hearts by God's Spirit. Also in Romans 15, verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God pours His hope into you. I'm just absolutely moved by this concept. Not only do we accept that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, not only do we keep our eyes fixed on Him, but God pours that hope into you. It gets on the inside of you and begins working on you. God poured it by His Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Isn't that powerful? Romans 15, I'm going to read that again for you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, by God's Spirit. You all know the chicken and the egg illustration. You know, the chicken, what came first, chicken or the egg? Well, the chicken leads to the egg, and the egg, of course, leads to the chicken, and that process continues, right? One thing leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another, of course. God's hope poured in you impacts us. It impacts us. And in return, we can impact hope. We can impact the hope that's in us. And we can impact the hope that's in each other. God pours His hope into you, and in return, we can impact those around us and ultimately impact the hope that's on the inside of us. What is, I want to look at real quick, what is the impact of hope? What is our response to hope? We're going to be in the book of Hebrews quite a bit here. First of all, hope. Number one, hope gives us joy and rejoicing. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Talking about Jesus being superior to Moses, says, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, whose house we are if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm to the end. That hope gets inside of us and it excites us. It gives us something to boast about, something to rejoice about, something to get excited about. That hope begins to work in us and we just have this joy. We have this thing to rejoice about. Psalm 100 puts it this way, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You get to know that hope that's on the inside of you, and you're going to get excited about it. You're going to get glad about it. You're going to begin to rejoice about it. You're going to begin to make a joyful noise. Because it's exciting, it's on the inside of you. You're going to become glad because you know that hope that's on the inside of you. It impacts you. And your response to it is to hold fast to it, the Scripture says. Hold fast to that rejoicing. Hold fast to that confidence. Number two, hope gives us assurance. Hope gives us assurance. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. This is talking about God knowing their work and their love and their laboring as a church. And the writer says, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence for the full assurance of hope to the end. We desire that every one of you show the same diligence for the full assurance of hope to the end. What does hope do for us? It gives us, as the last scripture said, confidence. It gives us a full assurance. We have this full assurance. And our response to that full assurance, that confidence in God, our response to it is to stay diligent to it. To remain diligent to that hope that's in us. 1 John 5:10 says this, whoever believes in the Son of God has this witness in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he does not believe the testimony that God gave about his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. What has God done for you? He's given you a testimony on the inside of you. He's given you a witness that's on the inside of you. You know that you are saved. He's given you that testimony, that witness. When you accept Him as Lord and Savior, you know it on the inside of you. It changes you. It transforms you. And that hope is on the inside of you. And our response is to be diligent to it. Number three, hope gives us a steadfast anchor. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. In this passage, it's talking about God's word and His promise being absolute. It says, so that by two immutable things, those two immutable things, God's word and His promise, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, which enters the inner place behind the veil. What does hope do for us? It is a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. God gives you that hope. He pours that hope into you by His Holy Spirit and becomes a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. We can be grounded. We can be grounded in Christ. We can be grounded in His truth. We can be immovable because we have that sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I like how it says it in Psalm 112, verse 6 and 8. It says, surely the righteous man shall not be moved. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees triumph upon his enemies. When we have that sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, when we have that hope of Jesus Christ that's in us, we're like that righteous man in that scripture there. We shall not be moved. We shall be fixed. We shall be established. We shall not be shaken. Because we have that sure and steadfast anchor of hope on the inside of us. Amen. Number four, hope helps us draw near to God. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. This is talking about the change of the law and the priesthood. And it says this, for the law made nothing perfect, but now a better hope, better than they had, is introduced by which we draw near to God. This hope allows us and helps us to draw near to God. And what is our response to it? To draw near to God. Amen? We have this hope on the inside of us by which we draw near to God. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You begin drawing near to God. And what's it say? He will draw near to you. God has called us to enter into His presence. God has called us to know Him and to enter into Him, to draw near to Him. And we have this hope on the inside of us. So hope that gives us confidence in Christ, a hope that gives us a sure and steadfast anchor, and a hope by which we draw near to God. You draw near to Him, the Bible says, He will draw near to you. Amen. I think I'm preaching this message faster than I intended to. But I hope you're catching hope. I want to make some affirmations as a church. I'm not really calling it a series of messages, but I began a couple weeks ago by talking about faith, hope, and love. I think I started last week, actually, talking about faith, hope, and love. And these are pillars of the church, things that we should see in the church, things we should see in our church, faith, hope, and love. Next week, we're going to talk about faith, but this week we're talking about hope. Hope is a pillar and needs to be a pillar in this church. I want to give you some affirmations, things that I want you to agree with me on. You don't have to talk out loud, but I want you to understand where my heart is, where my vision is for this church. Number one, we will be a church that is full of joy and rejoicing and gladness because we know that hope that's in Christ. We will be a church that knows there's a rejoicing and a joyful and a glad church. We have that hope that's in Jesus Christ. Affirmation number two, we will be a church that is anchored by the message of Jesus Christ. We will know that message. We'll know why we believe that message, and we will be anchored in the message of Jesus Christ. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Number three, we will be a church that draws near to God. We have that hope that draws us near to God. And when we draw near to God, God draws near to us. We know the presence of God in this church. We will be a church that draws near to God. Number four, we will be a church that shares that hope with others. That's a challenge. I'm challenging you, and I hope you agree with me in these affirmations. We will be a church that shares that hope with others, with the community that's outside of this church, with Cut and Shoot, with Grossville, with Conroe. We're going to share that hope. Christians must have hope. We must have hope. Hope gives us joy and confidence. Hope anchors us and draws us near to God. I challenge us to be a people of hope. If we could have whoever's doing the final song, they want me to do some kind of cue or signal, but I don't have one yet. I don't have some baseball sign to let everybody know that they can come up. But if they can come on up, I want to challenge you in this hope. And actually, I want to give an opportunity for you to know the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." I want you to know that rest. I want you to know the hope that's in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not that kind of evangelist. I'm going to give you an opportunity two opportunities, actually. One, to raise your hand, real simply, and I'll see it. I'm not going to lead you in the sinner's prayer right then. But I'm just going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand if you want to know the hope that's in Jesus Christ. And the second opportunity I'm going to give you, and I know this is a life decision to accept that hope that's in Jesus, but the second opportunity I'm going to give you is when they begin singing after you've raised your hand. Whether you raised your hand or not, if you want to come up while they're singing, I'll pray with you. I'm going to ask as they sing, for the audio video people to turn my sound off so that I can pray with anybody that wants to come up. But I want to give you a chance to know that hope that's in Jesus Christ. It'll cost you everything, but He's so worth it. Amen? Jesus is so worth it. And I want you to know that hope. Pray with me. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for the cost of him dying on the cross for us. And thank you for that hope. Thank you for forgiveness that's in him. We love you. In Jesus' name. God, I pray that you draw everyone here to Christ. And you help us to draw others to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, every head bowed, every eye is closed. This is just going to be real quick. I'm not going to take too long on this. If you want to know the hope that is in Jesus Christ, at the count of three, I'm going to let you shoot your hand up there. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Close your eyes. I don't want anybody, I just want to see it. That way I can pray with you afterwards. If you want to know the hope that's in Jesus Christ, please raise your hand right now. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Put your hands down. You can open your eyes. As they begin singing, if you want to come up, I'll pray with you. God bless you.